I had a great time this week. On my way to work, I had a flat tire and was on the side of the 401. And I'm like, for those who know me, I hate losing time. So, so what was the most frustrating about this is that I was stuck on the side of the road and I had work to do. I was like, I'm losing time. This is driving me crazy. So I just prepared my sermon there on the side of the 401. And then sitting at Canadian Tire while I was waiting for the new tires to be on. So I like to use my time wisely. So here you go. but I had a great time rereading this parable. And I just love when something that you've read a lot of times just comes alive even more as you read it 100th time. And that's what happened to me. I knew a little bit of what God wanted me to talk about, but I wasn't sure what scripture he was going to give me, so that's the scripture he gave me. So this kind of goes along with, it really goes along with Love Our City, the Love Our City series. So let's start. It starts in Luke 10:25. And this man here asked Jesus, "What should I do to inherit eternal life?" So he's probably looking for an answer of things he can do, like to be more righteous, to be more holy. For us today, let's put this scene in 2011. What do you think Jesus could have answered? Or what do you think the guy was hoping for an answer? Should I pray all the time? Should I read my Bible every night? Repent of all my sins every day? Do more, give more offerings to God? Those kind of things that we can do that we think of as righteous and as holy. And Jesus, being Jesus, answers with a question. Oh, I love Jesus. And he says, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" And so, knowing the law, he says, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Knowing the law is not enough, because he obviously did not understand this passage. Because Jesus says, right, do this and you will live. That simple. The man wanted to justify his actions. So he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Hold on a little bit. Go back to the last slide. I've never seen this before. The man wanted to justify his actions. We never do that. I don't know. We never read a Bible passage and try to find another meaning for it. I never do that. I just thought that was very interesting. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he just quoted the law to Jesus. But that's not what he wants it to mean. So he's trying to get Jesus to give him another answer. So he says, "And who is my neighbor?" Because he knows very well in his heart that he does not love his neighbor as himself. And just by reading some commentaries, the question, "Who is my neighbor?" is really an attempt, right, to limit his neighbor by just the people that he wants, really, not just including everyone. And in the ancient culture, such limits like that had a lot to do with culture. So that's why Jesus picks the Samaritan, because the Samaritan was like, ew. He was like a good-for-nothing kind of guy, and there's a reason why Jesus picked the Samaritan in the story, but we'll talk about that. more later. But this man is, he's a lawyer. He's trying to get Jesus' endorsement in, like, there's actually a category of people that are non-neighbors, right? That's what it really means, right? And Jesus replied, again, with not really an answer, but with a story this time. The parable of the Good Samaritan. So this is how it goes. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him off his clothes, beat him up, and left him dead beside the road. So, half, okay. Yeah, I had a funny word here. Okay, half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. So that's interesting too, how Jesus took a priest in the story. Not just, you know, just anyone. He had an important role in Israel, a priest. So the guy laying there half dead was probably, had probably a big sigh of relief when, just go back. Thank you. A big sigh of relief when he saw the priest come. Like, for sure, this guy is going to help me. He's a priest. No. So it says, by chance a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. The detail about crossing the road is not an accident. He wanted to get as far away as possible from this wounded man so he wouldn't feel the responsibility coming on him. So by choosing not to look any longer, like, he's not there, I can just go on with my day and not be bothered. Do you ever do that? No? Might not be a wounded man on the side of the road, but there's a lot of hurting people in this world. There's a lot of people needing help. There's a lot of situations that we choose to look away. He chose to distance himself from the pain of his neighbor, even though he was aware that the guy was almost dead. I really, 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 really want us to feel God's heart this morning, his compassion for the world, for the poor, the needy, the widow, the orphan. The needy is pretty much everyone. But for the pain that's in this world. And there's a saying that I like to quote often because it just keeps me in check. It's from William Wilberforce, one of my heroes. He abolished slavery in the UK. And he said, "You may choose to look the other way, but you can never say again that you didn't know." And he was an MP, was saying that to his fellow parliamentarians that were saying, "Oh, we can't abolish slavery. Our economy is going to collapse." It was specifically for the sugarcane slaves. They said, "Well, if we don't have that, really, our economy is going to collapse." So they were aware of what was going on. Whoops. Okay. But just like the lawyer, they chose to look away. I wonder what God thinks of that. We'll see that in a few verses. Verse 32, a temple assistant. So again, it's someone that has to do with the important roles of society in ancient Israel. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him. So he saw him, looked at him, lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. It's like, it's as if going on the other side makes it better? I don't know how, but it's that, I'll look away and pretend it's not there. The bother and discomfort of helping could have had that man die on the side of the road, because getting involved was too costly for those two men. The investment too high. They would have had to stop in their journey, probably be late for their appointments, whatever they were going to. But here's the thing. To refuse to help that man was moral failure. What does God care more about? Where we're going in our journey, you know, on our way to work, on our way to our appointment, on our way even home so that we can relax. Whatever it is we're doing, when we feel that compassion come and we choose, no, I'll look away. It's too costly. Jesus says that is moral failure. Later on, we'll talk about that. So verse 33, he said, then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. The Samaritan in ancient Israel was the notorious bad guy, a traitor, a half-breed, good for nothing. It's a very important emotive element to remember as we go through this parable. The hero is a bad guy. Culturally, it would have been the last person you would expect to be a hero, to be an exemplary neighbor. Maybe enemies can love God better than we do and be examples. So going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. He didn't just, you know, make sure that the guy wasn't dying and just kept going on his way. He put him on his own donkey. So he brought him in his car, then brought him to a hotel, paid for his stay for as long as probably 2 weeks, it says. That's the price that he gave, would have covered for about 2 weeks. And then he said, if that's not enough to cover for him, I'll come back and pay his bill. He didn't go halfway. Now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. He didn't even want to say the Samaritan, because even just saying the Samaritan was like, oh, I can't believe the hero is one of those guys. So he chose his answer by saying, the one who showed him mercy. See, he knew that was the right answer, but he didn't like it. So then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. So, who's my neighbor? Who's your neighbor? It's anyone, really. It's anyone and everyone that, oh, thank you, I'm making a mess, that Jesus puts on our heart to love. It's anyone and everyone when we see a need. Like those two men, they saw the need. But they chose not to help. And when I was reading that, I was reminded of Matthew 25:40, where Jesus says, when you do it to the least of these, you do it to me. So by not helping that man on the side of the road, it's Jesus they left there, half dead. It's our fellow humans. I was trying to put it in kind of a today situation, but it gets kind of tricky because I don't want to get political, or I don't want to, I don't know what I want, don't want to get political. But just think of that, our fellow humans. That's everyone. That's the people in China making the toys for our kids. Sorry. That's the people harvesting the cocoa to make the Hershey Kisses. That's the people harvesting the coffee beans that we drink every morning. There's so many examples. That's the people that harvest the cotton. Why is it so hard to be the Good Samaritan that chooses to care and make a difference and save that man's life on the side of the road? There's so much we can do, church, and there's so much we're not doing. Our compassion level, sometimes it's so low, and I'm speaking for myself. How many times have I chosen to turn away from the pain I saw because it was too inconvenient? Lord, forgive us. Jesus said, do this and you will live. What gives life is a relationship to God. And our chief purpose on this earth is to love God wholly, entirely. We're designed to love. But the thing is that the product of our love for God will be a regard for others made in God's image. And how that manifests in each of our life, a regard for others that are made in God's image, that's not for me to say. But today I just want us to be open to receive God's compassion for the needy, the ones that are hurting, the ones that are suffering injustice. We are God's hands and feet on this earth. We are Jesus' beating heart on this earth. For all those that are suffering. And if we choose to be silent and go on with our daily life and choose comfort over the bother of helping someone, who'll do it? Who will do it? And honestly, what will Jesus say on that day? when we meet Him face to face. There's also a passage that talks about how when we visit people in prison, when we feed people, when we clothe people, we're doing it to Jesus. And I'm not going to go into it, but the consequence of not doing it was very harsh. And I don't want to scare us this morning, but kind of. This is serious. To love God means to show mercy to those in need. And the greatest act of compassion is to not look away. And we talk so much about, oh, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. What did Jesus spend all His time doing? How many times does it mention He had compassion on the crowd? He had compassion on the sick. And He went to help them. He sure chose the help over His own comfort. That's what it means to be like Jesus. Being like Jesus is not just to be a great teacher. What did He teach about? There's a lot of people hurting in this world if we just open our eyes. A lot of people being wronged, a lot of injustice. One verse that always really, really, really strike me is Jeremiah 22, verse 16. He gave justice and help to the poor and needy, and everything went well for him. Isn't that what it means to know me, says the Lord? Isn't that what it means to know me? To give justice and help to the poor and needy. That's it? That's what it means to know God? I want to know You, Lord. You know, we sing that. To give justice and help to the poor. Do we do that? I know that's not my priority. It's hard. It takes of your time, your energy, your money. But that's what it means to know God. Yes, it costs more money to buy fair trade coffee. But think of the people that are harvesting the beans. Can we care at least just a little bit? Just for a coffee? Just the little things that we're aware of. God's not asking us to do everything on our own, but when He opens our eyes to something, we have to choose to not look away. To give justice and help to the poor and needy. That's what it means to know the Lord. Isaiah 42, it says, He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. He will bring justice to all who have been wronged. That's Jesus. Jesus' heart for justice. Every time someone is wronged on this earth, He cries and He wants justice. And then James 1:27, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father. Whoa.
It means caring for orphans and widows in their distress. working. All right.
Yeah. Oh, hey. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress. When's the last time you cared for a widow or an orphan? Oh, Lord, have mercy on your church, on me. Who's your neighbor? I think for me, it really helps to remember that Jesus said, treat everyone as you would treat me. And I think the two men that passed by, that half-dead man on the side of the road, if they would have seen him as God, I don't think they would have passed on the other side of the road. But the thing is, we are all created in God's image. We're God's most prized creation. He loves us as he loves his own son. So we sang about God's love. We know how much he loves us. But to remember that he loves every one of us the same, and how we treat each other, we should treat each other as we treat him. We would treat him. So try to see the face of Jesus on those people hurting. It will help move you to action. And I know that I've been, you know, talking about social justice and human trafficking and the ending of abortion and all those justice issues for a while now, but it's not just on my heart because it's just me, it's just something that I like. I know this is something that God wants to do on the earth, especially I've heard so many prophetic words about the end times and how justice, a movement of justice, was going to be really prevalent. Because it says, as we read in Isaiah, that Jesus will come back and he's going to give justice to all who have been wronged. It's on his heart. And if we claim to love God, we will care. Another interesting scripture, Deuteronomy 16:20. Let true justice prevail, so you may live and occupy the land that the Lord your God has given you. And I think we can really see this verse. You can go to the next one. The land. Next one. We talk a lot about taking the promised land. Just that kingdom invading the earth. That includes true justice. People being treated fairly. And I know we're used to see Proverbs 31 as the Proverbs for the ideal wife, but the first about 10 to 15 verses are not about the ideal wife. They're about justice, and it says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. And that's Solomon saying that to his son. And he says, when you're king, this is what you must do. And our Father is giving us the authority on this earth. We're carrying his authority, and it's our job to be a voice for the voiceless, to ensure that justice for those being crushed. And then the next verse, it says, yes, speak up for the poor and helpless, and see that they get justice. It's not the government's job. I mean, I'm really thankful for healthcare and all the social programs that the government's put in place. But I think the government has had to step in because the church has failed. That's my opinion. I said I didn't want to get political, but here we go. I think that God has given us that job to do, and we've failed miserably, and now we rely on social programs to take care of the hurting. They don't have the answer. I did 1 year of social work because I always wanted to help. I wanted to be a missionary before I met Jesus. It's just something that God put in me when I was born. I did 1 year in social work, and I was so discouraged. I was like, I can't even talk about Jesus. What good am I going to do? We have the answer to their pain. We can't stay silent. So, Jill, can you come up? So let's stand together. So, this morning I really feel that the Lord wants to impart a special portion of his heart into each of our hearts. That special place called compassion. And for those of you who've been stirred during this message, I'm going to ask you to come up and just repent for the ways, for the times that you've looked away and haven't had compassion. And as you do that, God is going to impart his heart of compassion. It's not something that we can do on our own, but it's his love inside of us. So just come on up, and we're just going to let you do business with God. But I'm going to go over to you in a few minutes and pray for you for that impartation of God's compassion.
My daughter, she's been in church since Friday night, so she's getting a little restless, and that's okay, because we're a family church.